to count it a blessing to be here, worship with you this morning. Bring you greetings from the High Prairie congregation. It's going to be a special privilege of being in the house of the Lord this morning, because when we were almost here, we had a phone message from home. I'm not sure what the circumstances were, possibly some snow or something like that, but they were not able to worship today. So it's a blessing to be here. Invite you all to visit if you ever can. For a message here this morning, we've been spending some time in the Old Testament this morning. We're going to continue that. But before we turn to the scripture, there's an illustration that we would like to use here this morning. This is something that we all have. In fact, every one of us here have two of them. And these two things that we each have, they are approximately 4 or 5 inches long and around 2 or 3 inches wide. And we all go by faith that we have them, because none of us have ever seen ours or anyone else's. But we would like to think about our kidneys this morning. Do we have any school children here this morning that can tell us what our kidneys do? What do your kidneys do for you? Does anyone know? Raise your hand high. I miss people sometimes. In the back. Okay. Out of what? Yeah, that's right. So your kidneys filter your blood. That's what they are. They're a filtering system for your blood. And I'll read just a little bit here of what I got out of the encyclopedia. It says, the kidneys lie against the rear wall of the abdomen on either side of the spine. They are situated below the middle of the back, beneath the liver on the right and the spleen on the left. A primary function of the kidneys is the removal of poisonous waste from the blood. Life-threatening illness occurs when too many waste products accumulate in the bloodstream. Fortunately, a healthy kidney can easily rid the body of these substances. Blood enters the kidney through the renal artery. The artery divides into smaller and smaller blood vessels, eventually ending in tiny capillaries. The capillary walls here are quite thin, and the blood pressure within the capillaries is high. The result is that water and waste products are pushed out through the thin capillary walls where they are collected. Larger particles in the blood, such as red blood cells and protein molecules, are too bulky to pass through the capillary walls, and they remain in the bloodstream. The blood, which is now filtered, then exits the kidney through the renal vein. Now, one more fact that I have here, but how much blood do you think goes through your two little kidneys every day? Any guesses? In the back there. 3,000? Well, that's just a little bit high. Well, maybe some of you boys at home, your dad might have one of those 55-gallon barrels that oil comes in. That's about how much goes through your kidneys every day. 50 gallons. 50 gallons every day. So you have some busy items in your body. Kidney failure is fatal unless medical remedies are pursued. So now we would like to just make some spiritual analogies from this. As we think of the filtering process that is happening constantly inside our body, and we said that these kidneys, they filter the blood, and we know that our blood is our life. And so spiritually, we have circumstances and events that happen in our life that we run through a filtering system. And we make decisions about what's right and wrong. You remember what I read there about what happens inside the kidneys? That blood comes in, and it's like almost like a real fine screen. And there's some things that are kept on one side and some things that pass through and are allowed on the other side. And that's what happens in life. There's some things that are kept in our bloodstream or in our life. And there's other things that we discard. And it's waste. It's things that would be harmful if we kept it. And so the thought here this morning that we would like to challenge ourselves with is that the health of our spiritual man will be affected by the performance of our spiritual kidneys. So now let's turn to a scripture. You can go with me to Psalm 73. I'd like to think of this psalm as being a picture of spiritual kidney failure. At least that's how it starts out. And then it gets remedied further through the psalm. Psalm 73. For a start here, I will read the first 16 verses. Verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death. Their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Here David is reflecting, at least I suppose it's David. It says it's a psalm of Asaph. I'm not sure how that all was, if Asaph wrote it down or whether it was his personally. But anyway, we'll reflect on it this morning as one of the psalms of David. Here in verse 3, we see envy, or we could say self-will, was impacting David's filtering of the effects of life. There were some things that David either wanted or else felt that he deserved out of life. I think we all, to a certain extent, we face that. We have things that we think are legitimate, that we should be receiving out of life. And when we don't experience that, we do the same thing as what David did here, and we start looking around. I wonder how he does this. I wonder how life is affecting him. I wonder how these types of circumstances are affecting someone else. I wonder if they face these same things that I am. And we start looking at other people. But I don't know if you've ever noticed with me, but one of the things that happens when we start looking at other people and we start comparing is our window that we can look into other people's lives is just small enough that we see a little bit and we start filling in all the rest. Did you ever notice that? And so we see As we go about society, we see people that it seems like they're happy. They're laughing with their friends, and we start concluding they must not have struggles like I do. Or we see people with their carts full with Christmas shopping, and we conclude, you know, they must have it pretty easy with finances. They must not be struggling. Or we see somebody and their children are outside and they're happily playing, and we conclude that their children must not need as much direction or maintenance as mine do. And we can see a neighbor that it seems like you can just about set your watch on what time he's home from work, and you think, well, his business life must be pretty stress-free. And so you see how we can take just a small glimpse of what we think we see in people, and we start making conclusions. We start filling in the blanks. And we find David doing that here. Verse 3, he says that he saw prosperity of the wicked. And so maybe when David looked around at some of the nations around him, he saw lots of chariots. Maybe he saw them importing those purebred horses from Egypt. Or saw that they had a larger territory than what he did. And he concluded that they were prosperous. Verse 4, he made the assumption that these wicked, when it came time for death, he didn't see them worrying about that stage of life. He said there's no bands in their death. And so he didn't see them worrying about what would happen after they were gone, or what the afterlife was like, or anything like that. He didn't see them being consumed with concern about that. Verse 4, he also saw people that had vibrant health. At least that's what he concluded. And we can do that too. We all have our little things that are never quite right, quite perfect with our health, and we can look around, we see other people, and we say, well, nobody else faces what I do. And that's how it looks. That's how we think. That's what David saw. Verse 5, David, his perspective was that the wicked have less struggles and anxieties about life than what he did. Verses 6 through 12, kind of the conclusion of some of these things. David concluded that, you know, the very fact that pride and self-will were being flaunted by these wicked people, he said their life was fat and prospering. It seemed that they were thumbing their nose at God. And David didn't see any consequences for these actions. And so he was concluding that, you know, these people just had it a whole lot better in life than what he did. And so his filtering process was being affected. So that brings us to another point we would like to think about here. Kidney failure becomes obvious when spiritual vitality is lost. So David started making these conclusions based on the way that he was filtering life. And we see some of these conclusions that he started making. Verse 13, he concluded that the effort to keep his heart clean wasn't really worth it. It was more effort than what it was worth. Verse 13, he also concluded that it was not worth it to be so careful with what he did with his hands. Verse 14, he concluded that his way of life only produced anxieties and constant correction from God. All the day long I've been plagued and chastened. Verse 16, David summarized by saying that he was tired of living this way. It even hurt to think about all this difficulty that he was putting himself through. It's a painful process to even reflect on what he was doing with life. But through all of this, we find God quietly speaking and trying to tell David some things. And God does that for us too. You know, no matter what our view is, we can always find confirming evidence to prove that our view is correct. Isn't that how it works? It doesn't matter whether our view is positive or negative. Whatever our view is, we can find confirming evidence. And no matter how logical things look, there is always another perspective. So God was here quietly speaking, and he wanted David to start seeing things from his perspective, not from his own personal perspective. God desired David to see things from his perspective. So God has a desire to direct our filtering process. God has a desire to direct our kidneys. And so now I would like to go on and read a few more verses here. We'll pick up where we left off in verse 17. So David just got done making the statement that when he thought about this, it was too painful for him, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. We'll stop there. So in the first part of the psalm that we read, we find David's own desires impacting his filtering process. And that happened until he went to the tabernacle of God. That happened until he opened himself to God's voice in his life. And then he started seeing things from God's perspective instead of simply from his own reasonings, from his own thought processes. And now we find another pain that David faced, and it was a pain when he realized what he had been allowing to happen inside. Now you see back there in verse 16, he was pained when he thought about this hardship of life and what he was putting himself through. And now he's pained to realize that he even allowed that kind of a thought process to happen. So David realized that his spiritual kidneys had failed. And that brings us to an interesting observation here. But here in verse 21, he makes a statement that my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. And maybe some of you Bible scholars have studied this already and know this. But here in verse 21, when it talks about reins, it's not talking about some equipment that's used to guide a horse. But you can take that word reins out and put kidneys in there, and that's what Strong says. And so David was saying that I was pricked in my kidneys. He said, I came to realize that I was filtering life all wrong. He said, I was grieved. With that thought in mind of what that word means, you can keep your finger here, but let's look at a few other scriptures that use this word reins. Go back to Psalm 7. Verse 9, Psalm 7, verse 9 says this, O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. So there we have God trying or testing our motives and our filtering process. Let's go to Jeremiah 12. Dad. Jeremiah 12, and I'll read the first two verses. It says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously?" You see some of the same things happening here as what we read about with David. "Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins." I found this verse interesting here because we find a group of people that were saying a lot of good things, but when it came to how they were filtering life, God was very far from that process. That's what it says here. He was very far from their reins and yet near in their mouth. Anyway, that's kind of a little side point. I think we can take some warning from that. Let's go to one more yet, Jeremiah 17 and verse 10, where it says, "I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Very similar to some of the other scriptures that we looked at. Going back to Psalm 73, we're still thinking about this thought that God has a desire to direct our kidneys. He has a desire to impact our filtering process in life. And here in verse 18 to 20, we see that when we voluntarily go into God's presence, He will be faithful in showing us His perspective on life. God will do that. David started seeing some things here, and a few things that he saw. One of the things that he saw is that every one of us as human beings are one slippery step away from eternity. So he noticed that. Another thing that he noticed, when we look back in verse 4, we talked about how it seemed like in death there was There was no worries there for these ungodly people. When his perspective was changed, David realized that the wicked have no true friends in the day of their calamity. See that in verse 19. They're brought into desolation. Desolation speaks of emptiness, aloneness. Also in that same verse there, verse 19, David had originally thought, verse 5, that they weren't troubled. They didn't have worries like other men do. But looking at things from God's perspective, these wicked people, verse 19, they're utterly consumed with terrors. You know, sinners have a lot of unreasonable fears to deal with. It's something we don't see right off, but it is a fact of life. They have a lot of unreasonable fears to deal with. Another thing that David recognized here when he opened himself to God's perspective, he had originally concluded that these people were doing what they were doing and it seemed like God was silent. Nothing was happening. Verse 11, these people were saying, you know, how does God know? Or does God even know what's happening here? But when David was open to God's viewpoint, he realized that when God awakes to deal with the ungodly, nobody is going to be mocking anymore. I find that in verse 20. When thou, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Man's way of looking at God doesn't affect how God, what potential God has. It doesn't matter if it seems like God is sleeping right now. When God decides that the time is right and God awakes to deal with the ungodly, then nobody is going to despise God anymore. One last thing here that David realized is found in verse 22. David realized that when we start seeing things from God's perspective, we realize how foolish and ignorant we really have been. We realize how foolish it's been to entertain some of the thoughts that want to come into our minds in times of testing. We realize how ignorant we are of God's ways. And so the question comes to us, how are my kidneys doing? And we start asking ourselves this question, how is it for me? And I believe that was what happened with David here. Let's start reading again here, verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-warring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. The first thing that we would like to notice here, thinking about how our own filtering process is going, how our kidneys are doing, that is that healthy kidneys invite God's inspection. Another verse that talks about this is back in Psalm 26, verse 2, where it says this, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." It's an invitation there for God to bring tests for us to be able to see in ourselves how our filtering process has been going. Am I willing to do that this morning? Am I willing to invite God to show me how well I've actually been filtering life? Just remember that if you do that, if you do invite that, God is going to hold up His end of the deal, if you want to call it that way. God will do that for you. And it may be a painful process like it was for David here. There may be some things that we come to see that we say, you know, is that really me? Is that how I actually am? Are we willing to let God show us who has been in control of our decision-making process? Has self been influencing or filtering, like David came to realize here? Maybe another question. Maybe it's not so much self, but has society been impacting how we filter life? How we think? How we act? How we dress? How we speak? And what we like or what we love? Are we willing to let God show us whether the things we either allow or disallow, whether that's been impacted by society? Can we invite the pain of correction into our life? Well, I trust that's our desire. As God is faithful and does that for us, healthy kidneys do filter out those impurities then that we become aware of. Are we allowing things to remain in our bloodstream, or we could say in our life, that should be filtered out? Have you with me ever concluded like David did that, you know, society sure has an easier life than what we do? Maybe we face that thought sometimes. How am I doing with the pressures and desires that life brings? Are we filtering life with the attitude that, you know, there's nothing wrong with whatever we are trying to decide? Is that the attitude that we filter life with? Or, in contrast, do we filter those things with meditating on the question, you know, is this decision that I need to make, is the way I would lean in that decision, is this really for the child of God? Is this, if I make the decision the way I would be inclined to, is that a decision that will bless my brethren? So which way are we filtering life? Which attitude do we have? And that becomes very practical, whether it's business decisions or whether it's family decisions. And of course, unless maybe it's technology. I suppose you have technology down here too. Verse 3, we notice that David realized that he had allowed the toxic presence of envy to remain in his bloodstream. Do we face that? Are these desires that we have, in whatever way they come, are they motivated by envy? Things that we wish we could have it the same as someone else. Well, going back to the thought of kidneys and this thought of toxic things that can remain, we can allow to have remain in our bloodstream. Just remember that toxic waste left in the bloodstream does bring death. It will be that way. Another point on healthy kidneys, we would like to look at Psalm 16 and verse 7. It's another verse that talks about kidneys here. Psalm 16, verse 7 says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Kidneys instructing in the night. I wonder why David mentions that. I have a few ideas, but maybe you can add your own as you think about this thought here. And he doesn't just say in the night, he says in the night season. And sometimes a season of night can last for a while. Things can be dark. And if you've ever experienced with me times of night testing, is a time when the tiredness of our body can make us a little bit more irrational. We can't think quite as clear. Things that normally we could not allow to become very big to us, they become huge. And they become oppressive. David says here that in those times, healthy kidneys bring instruction. Maybe for youth it's at nighttime there can be a tendency towards silliness or a lack of reserve or something like that. David says at a time like that your kidneys should bring you some instruction about how you should be filtering life. Well, as we get older, maybe the responsibilities in life, they look overwhelming. David says, God has some instruction for you of how you should filter the thoughts that come to you of about your responsibilities at a time like that. We already talked about worries and fears that can become exaggerated. David says healthy kidneys should bring you some instruction when you face times like that. And of course we know that that instruction also needs to be meditated on at every other time of the day. But I find it interesting here that he talks about the night season and our kidneys bringing instruction. Another point here on healthy kidneys, back to Psalm 73, verse 17. Healthy kidneys renew their perspective in the house of God. Maybe to illustrate this point here, there's something that happened to me a number of years ago, and it's something that defies our logic, but I was with my brother-in-law. We were out hunting, and we were a few miles from camp where our families were, and we stayed out there till dark, and that wasn't really a big thing because we had a compass with us. But my brother-in-law is one that he always maintains a pretty good sense of direction, and so we started out. We knew where we were going. And we went up over hills and across creeks and up over the next hill. And of course, there's lots of trees we were going around. And at one point, well, there's various points, I would pull out my compass and I would look at it, see if we were still going the right direction. And at one point, I stopped and looked at it, and I was about to put it away, and I was like, now, wait a minute. And I looked again. And it said that we were heading back the way we had just come from. And so I stopped him, and I said, I think we're going the wrong direction. And he said, we can't be. And sure enough, we were. And it was a very unsettling feeling to turn around and go what felt like the wrong direction, but that little thing said it was the right direction. But you know, to me, that's an illustration of how life can be. You know, we have all these trees of life that we need to make decisions, and we go around and we need to decide what direction we're going to take with life, and we make all of these choices. And it's our human tendency in making choices that, you know, we after a while our path turns without us even realizing that that's what happened. So I believe that's why we have this thought here, that we need those times of going back to the sanctuary of God and renewing our perspective. But you know, we don't have to do that by ourselves. Verse 23, God says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee." God wants to hold our hand through all of these choices, these decisions, this filtering that we need to do in life. God hasn't just left us on our own. Verse 24, he desires to be our guide and our counsel. But you know, it still comes back to us making that choice to come back to the house of God to renew our perspective and how we've been doing in this filtering. The next point here, healthy kidneys cling to God as their only hope. I find that thought in verse 25 where David says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none on earth that I desire besides thee." You know, left up to ourselves, we already illustrated how we would not be able to filter life consistently. And what did we say is the end result of that? Death. And so we cling to God as our only hope. Whom have I in heaven but thee? It is also a necessary personal choice to to have the testimony that David did here in verse 28, where he says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God." It's a personal choice to view it as good to draw near to God and trust Him. We already said that it doesn't always feel good, but it is good, though. And so we draw near Him in our prayer life, in our Bible reading, in our spiritual fellowship and accountability. We view it as a good thing to draw near to God. One last point that I have here on healthy kidneys, and that is simply that spiritually there is no such thing as dialysis. Maybe some of you here are old enough that, I don't know, maybe that's a practical thing for you. Your kidneys fail, and there's a way to deal with that. You go periodically and go get hooked up to a machine, and the machine does the filtering for you. But spiritually, there's no such thing. Nobody can make those choices for us on filtering. Yes, other people can give encouragement, they can give direction, they can give admonition, they can give warning, and we're not making this point to minimize the place of the church, the place of the body. It's not a point made to discount the need for guidelines in life, but the simple fact is that we cannot live for an extended period of time with something other than ourselves filtering life. And the reason for that is because if we are doing our filtering process simply based on what other people are thinking or what they expect from me, it's not personal to us, and we're going to be compromising. We're going to always be going around the tree a certain direction until we're headed the wrong way. And so we need to do this personally ourselves. Have our kidneys healthy, renewing their perspective from God's viewpoint in life. Either allowing or not allowing the things that are necessary for healthy life and healthy blood. In conclusion, you can turn with me to Revelation 2. Revelation 2, I'm going to read the last part of verse 23. This is Jesus speaking here when he says, "I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and will give unto every one of you according to your works." May this be a challenge to us this morning, that every one of us, our eternal destiny will be determined by how we have filtered life. The Lord bless you. Let's kneel for prayer. Gracious Father, we bow in your presence here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the kidneys that we have. We thank you for the natural way that they maintain life and health for us, as they filter the way that you have designed them to. Thank you, Lord, for the spiritual lesson that we have learned here this morning as we look into your word. And we see how life impacts us. And we so easily start allowing things to go through that screen that shouldn't be going through, or that we retain that shouldn't be retained. We pray, Lord, that each of us here could honestly allow our perspective to be cleansed and to be molded from your perspective. Lord, you know the challenges of each one here, even though I don't know these people. We know that you know them, and we pray that your voice would be there day by day, knowing that you want to accompany us through this process each day. That it's your desire that your people would be sanctified and meet for your use. And so we pray that you would bless them, that they could be diligent in maintaining life and health. Just bless our fellowship here. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the inspiration that we have received from it this morning. Help us, Lord, that we would be not only hearers of the word, but doers also. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.